Hello and welcome to Mellowpod from Not Often Heard. My name is Gary.
My name is Mark.
And my name is Alex.
And we are here to once again pass judgment on Melodifestivalen, Sweden's show to select their song for the Eurovision Song Contest. And we are on heat two.
We are.
That means we've heard half of the songs already.
Which doesn't that mean it can only get 50% better?
Well,
or something. I don't know.
Well, lots of rumours in Eurovision fan circles about the best is yet to come, basically.
Yeah,
is what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. So, basically, we are going to cast our eye over the seven songs of Heat Number 2 in Melfest, and to see if things have improved, because it felt like we were all quite negative about Heat 1.
Yes, I think Alex summed it up when he called it meh. Lady Festivalen.
Well, we thought maybe they were just, breaking it in gently because they were up against the Norwegian national final show and they didn't want to waste some of their best songs. So we shall find out.
Yeah, that's
fair. So our hosts are back, Jesper and Farah. This time, instead of the artist parade at the beginning of the show, they were all sitting in the green room and we just kind of got waves as they were introduced for the evening. Some very big cheers for Teos. More about him in a bit. And we started off with a bit of comedy clothes business from Jesper, where he wore a green sort of body stocking and they were able to, like Doctor Who 70s style, CSO some clothes onto him. including a part where he appeared without his underpants. Thankfully, they did pixelate.
Oh my word!
Certain aspects of that.
He's not scared of going a bit naked, is he?
I wonder if he's had it written into his contract that he has to show a bit of flesh every episode. I'm not going to argue.
We'll keep a track on it.
Okay, so shall we kick off with a bit of a recap of the seven songs?
That would be helpful, I think.
Here we go. Victoria, All My Life. Comfortable by Eden. Gritan by Uje Brandelius. Panetoz, On My Way. Now I Know by Tennessee Tears. Maria Sir, Never Give Up. Mirror of Day by Teos. So that was our Super 7 for this week. We'll start off then with Victoria, All My Life, open brackets, Where Have You Been, close brackets. Mark, kick us off.
Have we really been asking, where have you been all my life? I'm not entirely sure about that we have been asking that question about this song, really. I've got a list of things that I wrote down. I'm just going to read it to you. Repetitive, retro, repetitive. Is there a chorus? Forgettable. Repetitive. A vision. and pink. Repetitive.
Oh dear. I didn't think it was that bad, actually. This is the fourth time we've seen Victoria compete in Melfest. I thought she had some really solid vocals, which is kind of what we expect from her.
I don't think it wasn't sung particularly badly, I don't think.
And I thought, you know what? You know what I'm like about choruses? This actually did have more of a chorus than we've seen from a lot of entries.
Yes.
So I was quite happy. My notes were, oh, a proper chorus for a change. So I'm surprised when you said you couldn't really find one. And it has those vocals, that vocal hook, all of my life, you know, where have you been? I've been waiting for you. Mm. I think it's a bit of an earworm. Not perhaps the standard kind of country twangy pop that we expect from Victoria, what we've had in the past.
Mm.
So you know, which is nice. We get something a little bit different instead of just coming back with the same old stuff.
Sure.
What did you think, Alex?
I mean, I feel like I know where Victoria's been. I feel like she's been listed under Kylie Minogue on Wish.
Ouch.
It did remind me of there was something very Kylie about the whole thing. I don't know if it was like the sparkliness or the jumpsuits or what, but it gave me very Kylie energy, which isn't a bad thing.
It's not Kylie. You
know, it's not Kylie. If I want Kylie, I'll get Kylie.
Okay, let us move on then to song number two, which was Comfortable by Eden. I'll kick us off. You know what? This one is completely not my taste, but I thought it was competently sung. It was a simple stage on it, but and honestly, it's practically cannon fodder. These kind of songs rarely do well at Melfest. And it felt like it was thrown in just because they wanted a bit of variety, and it never was expected to do any kind of business on there. Would you agree, Alex, or different opinion?
I mean, I liked it. I thought it was a good performance. I thought she did very well with it, but you know, you are right. These kind of songs tend not to do well in Eurovision. So as nice as it was today, I was not surprised at all by the results, which we'll get to later.
Do you concur, Mark?
Yeah. I like the representation. I quite like some of the melody elements. I like the strings that were in there. And the lyrics and the sentiment of the song, you know, that, you know, we've become comfortable in our relationship, I thought was nice. If just a tad too angsty. And yeah, it's as you and Alex have said, those songs rarely do well in Melfest and or Eurovision. But, you know, again, variety. And that's one of the things I love about Melfest. You're going to get variety of songs and genres. And I'm here for it.
I could have pressed the button. Okay, well, that didn't take us very long to review that one.
No.
I'm not sure if the next one's going to be much better. Uya Brandelius, Gritan. Now, I should say, do you know what gritan actually means, what the translation is?
It translates as stew, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a song about stew.
Yeah. It's well, kind of.
Yeah.
It's kind of telling the story almost of a bit about a relationship, how he burnt the stew and he swore a lot. So they got pizza instead when friends were coming over, and how basically he kind of messes up a few things, and his partner's always like, it's fine, it's not a problem, we'll just get pizza, that's okay, we have fun, you know, blah blah blah. And he's trying to say, and that's what I love about you, just because, you know, you just that kind of accept me as I am, and I do silly things and I mess things up, and you're okay with that. And what a great, you know, it's like, you know, just one of the reasons I love you.
Oh, that's lovely, actually.
Yeah. Mm. You know, it's not a song about, oh, I love stew, it's so delicious and filling and warm in the winter. It's nothing, it's not silly.
No.
It could see as maybe a joke kind of entry.
I think I got Constructor vibes from it. In Coplisano from last year.
Okay.
Kind of like unusual staging, almost like a performance, like, well, it is a performance, but almost like a dramatic performance rather than a singing performance.
Mm, yes. He's telling a story, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you reckon, Alex?
I don't know. I spent a lot of it, maybe because I couldn't get like a translation of it, so I didn't like understand the meaning behind it. But I was just like looking at this, just, you know, like, what on earth is going on? I was just a little too weirded out by the whole thing to,
yeah, it is a bit odd. And we have seen these kind of, we've seen more overt jokey entries before. Full Dance, a couple of years back. I can't remember the name of it, but it's the one that was sung by a TV chef, basically, with all the dancers dressed up as food.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, this, it wasn't even that jokey for me. You know, it just looked like guy was talking about some stuff and there were some people behind him moving around some IKEA furniture. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. He was very serious. And yeah, there is a backstory to it, which if you hadn't been reading the translation of the lyrics and perhaps hadn't read a little bit of the background of the artist, he's a kind of, yes, he's a singer, but he's an actor as well. And I think he's in a bit of comedy and stuff. So he's a bit of an all-rounder. He's not necessarily a career singer. No. So it's easy to get lost in translation when you don't understand the Swedish for it. And to be honest, if I hadn't looked into that and if I hadn't seen the translation, I don't think I would have understood the meaning and just would have written it off. Almost to the point where I was thinking, are they just wasting a slot here by sticking a song about stew? Is this ridiculous? Honestly, out of, you know, 2,000 odd submissions that they had, was this the best they could do? We could perhaps use this slot for a better song. But when you read the kind of the bit of the background, you can kind of think, okay, yeah, I can see why you might want to put something like that in, because, you know, it has a certain message it wants to give.
Yeah, I get that.
Okay, on to song number 4 then, racing through. Panir Toz, On My Way. They are back again. I think this is their third attempt at doing it. Alex, what did you reckon?
Oh, I love this one. We often talk about what we refer to as Latin pop that appears in Eurovision. We talk about that. But this was giving me more, I suppose, the term I used, whether it's the most accurate one I can think of, is Caribbean pop. It's very, like, they had a set idea in terms of, like, the outfits they were wearing and the way it was.
The backdrop
was all laid out with like the postcard and the music and the choreography. I thought they had a very clear idea and a very clear style and aesthetic, and it was delivered really well. And you could see it from the audience. They were absolutely loving it. They were all up on their feet. They were all dancing along. It was brilliant.
Excellent. Mark, what did you think?
Yeah, I'll agree a lot with Alex, actually. I thought it was really colourful, a real party song, great vibe. What's not to like about it, really? I was surprised at how much Swedish there was in it, because I've only seen a little snippet of this song, I'll be honest. But yeah, I wasn't expecting with knowing who what the group are like, I was expecting something different. But what I got, I really
Yeah, in the previous songs that they've done, they have sung pretty much all in Swedish, I believe. Now this one, even though the title is "On My Way," that is pretty much the only line in English. Mm. There's not a hell of a lot in there. But I think it's almost the best of both worlds. They've got the Swedish language in there, but then they've got that line in English, which means, you know, for the non-Swedish speaking viewers, they've got that hook that is repeated over and over again. So it becomes that earworm. It is memorable. I think it's a summer anthem, and it's going to be heard a hell of a lot in Sweden this summer coming. Very slick, very well performed. Can't argue with that. No, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Nope.
Song number 5, then. Tennessee Tears. Now I Know.
Well, it's a country song, which means Gary's going to hate it.
Oh, should I just save my comments to the end? Do I even need to say them?
After, like, how many years have we been doing these podcasts now?
Oh, God, this is...
Three, four?
Fourth year. Third or fourth year, yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, yes. Just a nice reminder, but maybe leave it at that before things start going off into a bad tangent.
Yeah, I think your thoughts on country and Western music are known throughout the multiverse, Gary.
Oh, dear. Okay, well, Mark, can you be more objective?
Okay. I don't mind country and Western music. I think mainly because my parents and my family played it a fair bit when I was growing up. I liked the backdrop. I thought it was really well sung. I like the outfits. It was country without being too country. It was a bit Shania Twain-y, I thought. So it wasn't heavy country. It was country light, I thought. Okay. And I didn't mind it at all. And I thought they had a good, great chemistry, the two lead singers there at the front. Mm. Really good chemistry together.
Really?
Yeah, I thought they did. Did you?
I thought they had no chemistry whatsoever, considering they were singing a song about them being like childhood sweethearts or whatever it was.
Oh dear.
I thought they had no chemistry whatsoever.
Oh, I don't know what that says about my understanding of the condition of being in love.
Well, it is Valentine's Day as we're recording this, so...
Yeah. I mean, this is something that if Denmark or the Netherlands were doing selections, I think would probably... be put forward for them. Got that kind of Common Linnets vibe, who represented the Netherlands a few years back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm not sure if you're doing the Netherlands dirty by saying that, but
it did quite well for them, actually, didn't it? So not necessarily a bad thing, I guess.
Yeah.
And you know what, it wouldn't be Melfest if we didn't have a country song in there. They like to throw one in, don't they?
They do
in the mix. And you know, as I say about a lot of songs tonight, very well performed. Not, you know, wasn't a bad performance at all. It has that kind of call and response type hook to whip up the audience a little bit. Inoffensive, I suppose. Just not my kind of thing. Don't, you know, obviously loads of people, I'm sure, will love it. Personally, not what I'm looking for.
Not for you.
Not for me. Okay, we should move on to song number 6 then, which was Maria Sir, Never Give Up. Now, so Maria only came to Sweden about a year ago when the war started in Ukraine. She came over with her mum. Her dad, I believe, is still over in Ukraine. at the moment. I think she had begun to try and forge a career in Ukraine, things like The Voice and stuff like that over there. So, you know, that all got curtailed. So now trying it right over here. I don't know. What did you think, Mark?
I really liked the simple staging of it. Sometimes I really don't like simple staging, but I did quite like it on this one. I thought it suited the song quite well. I thought she had generally good vocals. I did wonder if her nerves were getting the best of her.
She's quite young.
Yeah. But I think what really lifted it for me was that slight key change towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
And that just lifted it up another notch for me. By no means my favourite from this heat, but again, competently sung, nicely, simply staged, a decent atmosphere and a good sentiment to the song as well. And I think, you know, I know Eurovision is strictly apolitical, but, you know, the lyrics never give up. And the situation in Ukraine, there is definitely there's a metaphor there, isn't there?
Any difference of opinion on that, Alex?
No, I thought it was a good song. I think, you know, we talk about it, Eurovision has not been political. I think it doesn't have to be overtly political. You know, there's moments like, was it, I can't remember, it might have been Iceland's entry a few years back when it was in Israel.
Yes.
Do you remember that flash to them and they were holding up the Palestinian flag?
Yeah. It was Hatari that was.
Yeah. Like, that's an example of a very overt politics, whereas this song I felt was a bit more subtle with it. Like, you know, everyone, you know, it's been a year now since the situation in Ukraine began, and I think, you know, we all kind of all aware of the current climate, so
yeah,
for her to sing a song like that, it gives her the right kind of message without it being too in your face.
I think that, and I mean this in the best possible way, but I think there is a danger with some people that they become fatigued about the situation in Ukraine, and I think this is a timely reminder maybe as well.
It's a difficult one, I think. It's a song about surviving and, you know, and kind of carrying on and pushing through, which is nothing new. We get plenty of songs like this about, you know, I will get through this, that kind of thing. It's given that extra layer because of who the singer is.
Yeah.
You look at the lyrics, you know, when I'm standing in the rain, no one's going to save me from the pain. I will never, never give up. When I'm crying out in chains, I don't have surrender in my veins. The lyric, there's no complexity there.
No.
I have seen some online chatter that basically said, if it wasn't that person singing it, we'd all be trashing this and saying this would come last in many a national final. It's just, you know, there's just a boring old cliched lyrics.
Yeah.
Under this, I don't know. You could just see it for what it is, and it's not a bad song. Actually, I quite like it. Is it? Some people will say, well, it's Ukraine trying to win again by proxy, maybe. Or on the flip side, are Sweden trying to gain a seventh win by using a Ukrainian artist, knowing what kind of vote that could elicit?
Maybe.
This is completely devil's advocate. And to be honest, I don't think it's going to go like that. We've heard the Ukrainian song for 2023. I'm not seeing the buzz around it that we had for the 2022 song for Stefania.
No.
However, Maria is very heavily favoured to win Melfest.
Really?
Yeah. At the moment, she is one of the favourites. So there, and obviously, it's going to be talked about in the postcard. She's representing Sweden, but this is her backstory.
Yeah.
And so that could drive more votes to it than if it was a Swedish artist singing it.
Mm. Oof. We're not that cynical, though, are we, Gary?
No, hopefully not.
Well, just remember, gentlemen, we're only in heat two. We're not out of the woods just yet.
No, we've still got Loreen to go. and just a little footnote, it's nice to see that Carola's Wind Machine came out of retirement for this performance. Okay, on to the last one then. Song number 7, Teos, Mayor of Day. So,
good old Teos.
Came back. He came into Melfest last year with Somme de Ville, and I think we all rather loved that one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Do we love this one even more?
I do.
You think it's better than Somme de Ville?
I think it's definitely in an evolution compared to Teos's original. Mm. You know, the first one.
I would agree.
It was nice. You know, simple outfits, very simple choreography, nice and boppy, very boy bandish. Whereas this one was definitely elevated. The outfits were better. The choreo was better. Still a really good poppy song. So yeah, I definitely thought compared to how well I loved Somme de Ville, this is definitely an improvement.
Yeah, I think you're right. It is an evolution. You know, last year he had straight hair. This year he's got wavy hair.
Oh, you're so cynical.
No, honestly, no, you're right. I don't know if I like it more than Somme de Ville at the moment. I think I need to listen to it again a few more times to see if it clicks. But I think it's a really good pop song. Apparently, he was very keen for it not to be labelled Schlager, though. We were trying to sort of push him to say, you know, so it's a good Schlager song, you know, roughly, and he basically was dodging the question, I think. Didn't want that label on it. It's not a bad thing. It's slick. He's got the moves. Although at times it felt like the backing track was quite heavy. And he was, so, you know, you weren't hearing his vocals quite as much as we perhaps could do. But I'm glad he stayed in Swedish. I'm glad we've got a really good pop song like that, and it's still in Swedish. Cause it could have been so easy for him to go, well, I'm going to do English this time and see if I can appeal to a broader audience. And also, I thought there was an interesting skirt / trouser combo on some of the backing dancers. I was like, I thought that died out in the early 2000s. What did you reckon, Mark?
Oh, how can he look younger a year later? I really liked it. I really liked the vocal hook and the chorus. The whoa, whoa, oh, oh. Lots of fun, lots of energy. Great choreo. I thought the choreo was brilliant. But I agree. I think the backing vocals carried him at times. But do you know what? I did not expect that key change at the end. Out of all the songs and all the artists, I didn't expect Teos to do a key change.
He delivers. It was all tick, 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 wasn't it?
Yeah.
So those were our 7 songs. We had an interval act where I speculated last time that has the kind of Melfest Hall of Fame been quietly forgotten about because there was no mention of it? Well, it's like they were listening to us. And they went, oh, yes, we need to do that. So we had a little skit where Thomas Gieson was inducted into the Hall of Fame. Can you believe he's written 69 entries for Melfest?
Does not surprise me in the slightest.
69.
He's probably got about 8 of them in this year's.
He is a prolific writer, and he does seem to get his songs selected. I was slightly disappointed that having done the whole, you know, Thomas Gieson, you know, welcome to the Hall of Fame thing, we didn't get a medley of his songs. That was that felt weird. It's like you're celebrating a songwriter, and all we had was a few blasts during the comedy skit with Jesper. Why didn't we get a full-on medley?
Because there'd have been some cracking songs you could have included.
Absolutely. But we did get a medley. Sorry, Alex, go on.
I was about to say, you know, if we had included it for Jesper, it would have cut into his time doing parkour.
Oh, I didn't get that.
I didn't get it either.
That's like running up buildings and stuff, isn't it?
Mm. Or something. Usually. Apparently.
Yeah. Maybe lost in translation for some of that one.
Yeah, just a skosh.
But what we did get was a Schlager medley from Linda Bengtzing and Magnus Carlsen in Off of Alcazar. It was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. They did all the hits, basically. It was them two just singing a load of snippets from their Melfest entries and a couple of other things. I love that Linda came on and basically recreated her performance from Yuga Subra in 2006, including down to the outfits, stripping off the outfits, you know, and she wearing almost the same clothes. I was like, that's a lovely little tribute. And we got Tess Merkel to show up for the Alcazar bit when the... did Not a Sinner Nor a Saint as well as part of the medley.
Cool.
Probably the campest 7 minutes we've seen on the Melfest staging for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. And that will be up on YouTube. So I do encourage you, listener, if you want to go and see a really good camp 7 minutes of song, go and look up that on YouTube. Right, so let's go on to the result. Mm-hmm. So following the new format, we pause the voting lines and somebody who goes direct to finale is announced. And that was Maria. Now, that obviously means Maria was leading the pack at that point. Is that who you thought would be going straight to final on the first slot?
No.
I thought she would probably get to the final, but I did not think she'd be top.
No. I'll be honest, out of the ones tonight, I'd have put Teos and Panietos and maybe even Victoria ahead.
Ooh. So voting reopens, and then we find that Panietos are top after all the votes have been counted, and he's going direct to finale as well. I was quite happy about that, but I honestly thought they wouldn't. I thought they were heading for second chance at best.
Yeah. It looked close at one point, definitely.
Yeah. What really surprised me was the amount of 12s that Tennessee Tears got. I'm missing something here. Were either of you surprised
Gary,
at their
let
popularity?
It go.
Sorry. Just because I don't like the song, I guess I struggle to understand why anybody else would. Jeno's bad.
Bad Gary. Very bad Gary.
I thought, for me, the big shock of the night was Victoria not progressing. She has actually gone direct to finale every single time. And then suddenly, boom. Doesn't even go to second chance. She gets eliminated. Honestly, I did not see that coming. I thought she would be top four and would be progressing in some fashion. Because she has been incredibly popular before. It was a good song. Maybe the staging was a bit lacking. You know, it was just her and some dancers hoofing around in front of a big W. Do we need more? Or was it just there were better songs?
I mean, I will say that I thought how do you say, is it Panietos?
Panietos.
Panietos. And the second chances were Tennessee Tears and Teos, weren't they?
Yeah.
I do think that Teos and Panietos were definitely better songs than Victoria. Mm. I was quite surprised about Tennessee Tears. I don't know. There were better songs than Victoria on the night. Whether or not there were four better songs than Victoria is debatable.
I don't know. Alex, is this what you expected for your top four?
I think I definitely expected all of them but Tennessee Tears.
Yeah, same
Tennessee
for me.
Tears was the one I was like,
what?
Did not think that would go through because I just wasn't overwhelmed. I wasn't overwhelmed by it at all.
Well, I guess Melfest continues to surprise us all.
Yes.
Well, we shall be back for heat number three very soon. And we'll see. Do we get something else? I believe we've got something that has several key changes in it. So be prepared.
Wow.
Several key changes?
So excited. We do hope you'll join us next time for Mellow Pods. Until then, it's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.